Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter, which you heard read earlier. In last week's Gospel, we saw Jesus demonstrate his power over the wind and the sea. This morning, we see him demonstrate his power over sickness and death as he heals the woman with the 12-year hemorrhage and raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus is not a magician. He doesn't do tricks. He's more than just a miracle worker. He is Lord of creation, and he alone saves. He is in control of nature and over your temporal and eternal life, over your eternal welfare, even when it seems that he is distracted, even when it seems that he is indifferent to your cries for help. Now, if there's one thing you and I don't like, it's waiting. It's not the American way. Waiting in the restaurant, waiting in the doctor's office, waiting in traffic. We value our time. And that even goes for waiting on God to answer our prayers. Waiting for the Lord can be frustrating. Sometimes he answers yes, sometimes he answers no. But oftentimes he answers not yet, or he answers, I need you to wait a while. Waiting on the Lord is a test of your faith. Like Jairus, his daughter, and the woman with the bleeding disorder, you experience times of terror and helplessness. You face threats of disease and death, adversity and hardship, and many times it seems that God is missing in action, or at the very least, he's unsympathetic to your crisis. But our God is a compassionate God. His judgments are unsearchable. His ways are inscrutable. And in his hidden wisdom, he allows suffering and tribulation to come into your life. He allows it for your salvation. He permits you to be tested so that you do not trust in yourself or human wisdom, but flee to the cross of Jesus, where Christ demonstrates that you have nothing at all to fear, even death itself. Christ has overcome death in the grave. He has redeemed you from your sin, and he brings you peace, healing, and salvation. And while you trust and cling to him in your suffering, he bids you to wait. And while you trust and cling and wait, as the prophet Jeremiah says in our Old Testament reading, remember Jeremiah's words, "The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love." In our gospel text this morning, Jesus shows us his compassion and his steadfast love. He and his disciples have just returned from the east side of the sea, of the Sea of Galilee, and as usual, the crowds flock around him to see him. And amongst all the crowds, pushing through the crowd, was a man by the name of Jairus, a prominent and powerful ruler of the synagogue. But as Jairus discovered all that power and prominence, does you no good when your 12-year-old daughter is near death. Jairus pushes his way through the crowds and comes near to Jesus, and in the midst of all the crowds, the powerful Jairus breaks down at the feet of Jesus and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live." It's every parent's nightmare. Even seeing your child suffering, let alone being at the point of death. But In faith, Jairus goes to the right place, as the psalmist tells us. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. See, Jairus knows of Jesus' power and his compassion, and he desires that his daughter be healed with the touch of his hands. But Jairus is only one voice in that crowd of many. Yet Jesus has compassion on Jairus and goes along with him. And as they go, the crowds continue the pushing and shoving and the gathering around Jesus. And then as they go, the journey to Jairus' house gets derailed. Many times in your life, it seems that Jesus' journey in your life gets derailed. So when this seems to be your situation, dear Christian, God would have you remember Jeremiah's words. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Few Christians have a problem calling out to the Lord in petition and prayer. The problem comes in what follows those prayers, the waiting. Jairus had to be relieved that Jesus said that he would follow him, and Jesus started to follow him to the house. But suddenly his whole world come crashing down again when, pushing through the crowd, came a woman suffering from a bleeding disorder. And she comes up to Jesus from behind. And when this waiting begins, Jairus' world comes crashing down again, for he knows that life and death hang in the balance. Scripture doesn't tell us how long the 12-year-old girl had suffered. All we know is that she is at the point of death. The woman coming from behind, however, we know she has been suffering for 12 years. She suffered from bleeding. She suffered by becoming poor, spending all of her money at many, many doctors. She suffered because her situation had become worse. She even suffered according to the Levitical law. She was considered ceremonially unclean, and in her uncleanliness, she couldn't go to the temple, she couldn't go to the marketplace, she couldn't go out and visit friends. She was a social outcast who was also cast out of the temple. Yet she heard reports of Jesus, and she believed. Unlike Jairus, though, her faith informed her that she didn't need Jesus' touch. She just believed the touch. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. That would be sufficient for healing. She believed, and she went towards Jesus. She believed she would be made well. She touched Jesus' garment, and she was made well. She reached out in faith, faith in Christ's divine goodness and power. She touched his garment, and she felt in her body that the disease had been healed. While at the same time, Jesus perceived in his own body that someone had touched him, that the power had gone out from him. And it's kind of curious, with all the people pushing and shoving, Jesus wanted to know who had touched him. Isn't that a little bit curious? Why would it matter? All the people in the crowd, who touched Jesus? Shouldn't it be satisfying enough to know that the woman was healed of her disease? Imagine how Jairus felt. Okay, Jesus, this woman's healed. Let's get on our way. My daughter's dying. Don't you care? But each and every individual person is precious to Jesus. While many people pressed in upon him and touched him, this woman is the only one to reach out and touch him in faith. And Jesus, in turn, looked at her and wanted her to confess her faith so that he could give her further healing, that is, deepening of her faith. Also, like Jairus, she falls down at Jesus' feet and confesses the whole truth. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." In the original language, it literally says, "Your faith has saved you." Jesus addresses her as a family member, calls her daughter, incorporating her into his true household of faith, his true family, pronouncing upon her peace, healing, and salvation. While Jesus takes the time to strengthen the woman's faith, there still stands Jairus, anxious, knowing that his daughter is near death. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord of all creation, and he alone saves. He is always in control of nature and in control of your temporal and eternal welfare. Even when it seems that he is distracted, even when it seems he's disinterested in your needs. While Jesus was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" It's hard to imagine. It had to be like a punch in the gut to Jairus. He had to have been thinking, "I had Jesus coming. Why did he wait? If only that woman wouldn't have come out of the commotion and interrupted him, why couldn't Jesus have ignored her and dealt with my dying daughter? She had a 12-year-old disease. My 12-year-old daughter was at the point of death and now has died." Well, Jesus does not ignore those who come to him in faith. He didn't ignore the woman with a bleeding disorder. He didn't ignore Jairus' request made in faith. He did, however, ignore the little girl's death announcement. Jesus spoke words to Jairus that he also speaks to you in your every crisis, in your every trial and suffering. He says, "Do not fear, only believe." When your road is dark, Jesus speaks his peace and healing and salvation into your life. It was God who planted that faith within you and the Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism. He incorporated you into his household of faith. You are sons and daughters of Christ. And now that you are part of his family, you have his promise that you will never perish. No one will snatch you out of his hand. In faith, Jairus trusted in Jesus, and they continued to the house. And upon arrival, the commotion, the weeping, and the wailing at the girl's death. But it doesn't fluster Jesus. He remains calm and in control. He says, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They had been with the child. They knew that the child was not just merely dead. She was most sincerely dead. And when, when someone is dead, you don't say that they're merely sleeping. So the unbelieving mourners laugh at Jesus. Imagine that, laughing in the face of the one who has power over death and the grave. So Jesus puts all the unbelievers outside and takes mom, dad, and the three disciples inside with him to the little girl where she lay dead. And our text says, taking her by the hand, Jesus said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she did. She got up and began walking. When Jesus speaks, things happen. His words are creative. It's efficacious. They do what they say they're going to do. His word is living and active, and it carries all authority to calm the seas and the wind and to heal the sick and the suffering. And yes, his word even raises the dead. Immediately, the girl got up and began walking. Jairus' waiting was over. The Lord had answered. Jesus came to his house and brought peace, healing, and new life. He is the Lord of life, who does not come running to answer death's call. No, instead, death answers to Jesus. But it answers in Jesus' time and on his terms. Indeed, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus speaks to you in your every crisis, trial, and suffering. He has compassion on you according to his steadfast love. He says, "Do not fear, only believe." God does not send suffering and tribulation into your life to punish you, but he allows it for your salvation. He permits you to be tested so that you no longer lean on your human knowledge, but you flee to the cross of Jesus, where Christ demonstrates you have nothing to fear, not even death itself. Now, God never promised to solve every problem you have. He never promised to take away every earthly suffering in the way that you wish and in the timing that you wish. Jairus had to wait. The woman had to wait. Jesus had something better in mind. In his hidden wisdom, God may require you to wait. As an aside, I didn't write this down in my manuscript. Yesterday, we had a funeral for David Kothman. The kids kept talking about David's 12-year bonus. 12 years ago, David about lost his life, and he suffered for 12 years. But David knew Jesus. David knew that Jesus was going to raise him from the dead. David had to wait. So too, you and I, dear Christian. Sometimes God calls us to wait. Sometimes not for a little while, perhaps it is for a long while. God's answer to your prayer in this life might be giving you the gift of endurance, learning patience, and being a witness to others through your suffering. But seek him, waiting quietly for the Lord's salvation. He is your portion. Because Jesus died for you, taking away the sin that separated you from God, you are reconciled back with the Father, and you have Jesus' promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. God planted that faith within you in baptism, and he continues to water and nurture and fertilize that faith right here in word and sacrament, so that you can trust his life-saving word. Do not fear, only believe. We all know too well that this life is temporary, but God in his kingdom is eternal. You have nothing to fear, for your God-given faith has already saved you. By faith, you look forward to the day when our Lord reaches down to you in death and takes you by the hand to wake you from the sleep of death and says to you, "I say to you, arise." And you will arise. All who die in Christ on the last day will be raised from the dead by Jesus. It is Christ who gives life to you into your dead body, and you will live in his kingdom forever. You will live whole, complete, both in body and soul. So for now, trust and wait, and then wait some more. We wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.